Give it away. Mom, no. Give it away. Give it away. Not, Mom, God damn it. Oh, shit, we're live. Okay, I gotta go. You there? No. Hi. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Hemda.
Oh, my God. It's the saddest thing.
You fake talking to your mom for us?
It's the saddest thing. Anyway, how you doing, Hemda?
Good. Did you just recently try to talk to your mom who has Alzheimer's and that's what it sounded like? He does these little reenactments for us, for the curious, for the ones who are furrowing their brow, not certain what Keith just did. He does these little interactions. That's how he deals with his emotions. His mother's going through some issues. She has dementia. She's
or no issues. I wouldn't know if there's issues or no issues. I don't know. But I know when I'm talking to you and you take your wheelchair back that you're probably not comfortable.
Yeah. Did you try to call?
We had a call and it was like silence and then weird laughter and you're like, all right, so I think we did good. Goodbye.
How long was the call? I know you like to time these things.
Oh my God. It was either an hour or 3 minutes. I forget.
Okay. Oh, and how are you doing?
Fucking fantastic. Actually, I'm doing pretty good. Right before the show started, I stepped on a thumbtack, but sideways. So it could have been a lot worse. So you count your blessings. And that feels good.
What were you in a factory? What thumbtack?
I have, you know, I have my wall calendar. I have a clipboard. I'm old school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Big news. Keith and the Girl Week starts a little early this year. It starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, Saturday, April 9th. Join the private production meeting at keithandthegirl.com/tickets. VIPs, get your discount at keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Then right after that, whether you're part of it or not, we'll be watching a YouTube premiere. A YouTube premiere, Kenda.
What?
That sounds like exciting words. Gilbert Gottfried, Doug Benson, Roseanne's Lisey Goranson, a bunch of comics trying to destroy my life. Subscribe and ring the bell for alerts on the Keith and the Girl YouTube page. That's it. And we'll see you tomorrow. Okay? Can I read some more letters? I love the listener letters. I think today's poll should be, are people sick of listener letters? Because I'm not, but I want to know. This is from Jeff. Dear Keith and Hemda,
These are specifically about the 17-year anniversary that we asked people to write in their experiences, but we're getting a lot of them, so we're putting one or two in every episode.
Part of me just assumes you don't give a shit about what some random listener thinks, so I never wrote you for your 17th anniversary, but I guess I changed my mind. I wanted to tell you guys something, so here it goes. I've been listening since very close to the beginning. I heard about podcasting through an article about the Don and Drew show since they lived in my state. I remember some half-hearted beef between the two shows, and I started listening to both podcasts when you were only about 20 episodes in.
By the way, that half-hearted beef was, I think within the first 10 episodes, we titled one of our shows Fuck Don and Drew.
It's now 2022, and I've listened to every single Keith and the Girl episode, and I can't tell you what happened to Don and Drew. Hey, I'm subscribed, by the way, to Don and Drew. No joke. Nothing's happening. I'm super proud to have been able to watch you create the Keith and the Girl world and watch you grow as podcasters and people. You both produce an amazing amount of high-quality content. You deserve every award you've received and rightfully earned, every fan you have. I mean that sincerely. I get to start my day with Keith and the Girl on my commute and end my day listening to you on my evening walk. As a VIP member, there's always something to make me laugh. That's a lot of hard work you did in 17 years. Thanks for doing it. It's a little strange that I know so much about you two and wouldn't even know. You don't even know how much you influenced my life. I started listening when I was 34. I'm 51 now.
Excellent.
I've listened to YouTube. Yeah, usually it's like I was 9.
And I'm right. Like, I'm not listening.
I've listened to YouTube become the people you are today while shaping my thoughts as well. In that span, I've had kids, changed jobs, endured harsh hardships, and all that comes with life as you both did the same. You did it with jokes and laughs and gave me an hour a day to escape. Thanks for giving me those laughs and keeping me sane. Keep up the good work, Jeff and Madison.
You know, I like the theme that a lot of these letters are like, look, you guys went through some hard times and they list it. They're like tumors, stopping to drink alcohol, divorce, like all this stuff. And they're like, if you could laugh through that, I could manage my life. I'm like, That's a nice compliment.
James writes, I started listening around episode 70 or so when Don and Drew were talking smack about the two clowns doing a podcast. We're literally clowns. I remember the first day I heard you listening to you on a 128 megabyte Creative MP3 player. The opening jingle came on and I had to listen to it a few times. What was this? Up to that point, most of my listening was to Adam Curry, some mashup podcast, a few others that faded away. I've stuck with you since then. I'd be curious as to how many hours of my life have been spent listening to you both. Even though you've never met me, I still consider you all an important part of my life. Party! Super party.
Super party. I gotta say that there's a lot of people listening that have listened to me more than my parents ever have.
Yes.
In the accumulator. And they were there from the beginning. I was not adopted, to be clear. Came right out of my mom. And I believe that you people listening have listened to me way more than they have.
Dear Hendon Keith, congrats on an amazing 17 years. I'm a VIP member. Iris says, started my days by listening to one of your episodes. Also, I've been off and on drinking. I tried detox on December, been going to AA, but since anxiety has always been my issue and going through changes at the moment, I relapsed, in parentheses, again. Keith, you've been sober for years. What finally made you decide to quit drinking? How was the experience for you? I don't know. It's as simple as it would ruin my next day. It was that simple. And you just keep denying it. Like, no, I can make it not ruin my next day. But I love doing it so much, it would ruin the next day. And since you are an atheist, how did you manage the higher power / God part in AA meetings? I've said this before. Kenda's the higher power. This show is the higher power.
No, I cannot be your higher power.
You are. You are, like it or not.
No, we need to discuss it then. I cannot do that.
But you don't have to do it. God, you really think God's paying attention to everybody? He can't even change the minds of the Russians.
It cannot be me. It could be like a room of alcoholics or something, like an AA meeting.
No, it's you. It's this show. It's today's guest. It's Kyle.
Oh, okay. Community. Okay. I get that. Yeah, yes.
I have to be responsible for something. That's what it is. I have a very beautiful adult daughter, 30 years, and I'm so worried due to my last relapse that she'll never talk to me. She was the one who introduced me to Keith and the Girl. I hate this disease and sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Thanks. You can't go out. You know what I also did? No joke. I went to the bars I would go to and told them I don't drink anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Now they don't give a fuck.
Right.
But
you didn't drink enough there and you brought in a bottle of vodka. So I don't know if you're their favorite patron.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, and I know I'm speaking from the other side of it, I'm Al-Anonic, but a lot of people cannot stop drinking alone. Just like you can't do anything alone. There's something underneath there that as soon as the booze is gone, you're not numbed away from it. And that's what that group is there for, to sort of get underneath that drink, because we're all numbing with something. So if alcohol is your use of numbing to make it a little bit better to manage, and you took that management away from your life, of course you're going to crave it. You need other people. Other people have went through what you went through. They have tools. You can see the different variations of what they did and how they managed it, and then just take what you like and leave the rest. I know AA meetings sound boring and awful.
They are.
And maybe they... And maybe they don't work until you
one out of
such
six
rock
does.
Bottom.
One out of six does. You hear that? Usually it's like, I was going to be the next Beatles and I blew it all away one night. Like, okay, you know. But sometimes you hear a story that you can really cling on to and you're like, okay. Okay. Yeah, no, go to fucking meetings. And if you're doing it, your daughter's going to notice. I promise. Today's guest, I am, my goodness, the word's love. She was only on once before, and then we gave a lot of her time to our marathon. I would think I talked to this person a million times. I'm Googling it right now. Love. An intense feeling of deep affection. Done. I know I hate my dad. That's an intense feeling of dislike. Yeah, done. Here they are. Megan Keister. Hello, Megan.
What's up?
What's up? Megan Keister, you can find on inoffensivecomedian.com, Twitter and Instagram is Born Feral. The podcast is Grift Horse, where she and I, my dad was a grifter. if you ask me. And
what do you mean?
He scams you. He's a little liar. Everything's
human beings
a trick.
Or corporations?
Say that again.
Human beings or corporations?
He would fuck with human beings. He didn't know about. No, he never evolved to the level you're talking about that would make your show. But he's just,
by the way, he is the worst grifter. He's trying to. He's trying to be like a $100 nair. Like it's, I don't even know if there's a word for it. Like Keith grew up poor, very poor. He put plastic bags on his feet between him and his shoes so that he doesn't get his feet wet. Like, so when you say grifter, you think like that charismatic, you know, good personality.
Step right up. Yeah.
But Keith's father had not a good personality, let alone a charismatic one. But he thought he did. And so everything that came out of his mouth was supposed to be grifting, but just fell flat. It's like, oh, I'm a stand up comic. But like, you don't know how to tell jokes. But, you know, yeah, you can go on mic and
so like, it's
try
like
to say words.
Tissue paper moon.
Yes.
Fucking
yes.
Nothing, dude.
Yes. And the other day we were talking about Louis C.K. winning a Grammy, and I can't believe that he was eligible for it. If it's an amazing album, people are going to find out naturally. It's not
why,
that
how
important.
Can you not believe that?
Find a,
as long as someone is still commercially viable, they're uncancelable.
I guess. Find a
this
sixth.
This is the hell we live in.
And I'm thinking find a sixth album. You'll discover somebody new to nominate. I think Tertium Non Daughter, dumb name, sure. Megan's stand-up album is perfection. And I mean that. You can't go back and redo any part of that and make it better. And I mean it.
Wow. Even the audio engineering.
Yes.
I mean, it's sonically perfect.
Yeah.
Quality-wise, perfect.
I don't know. They'll figure out something where you like see it in 3D or something. But it's so good. It's so
good. Well, I mean, I can't wait to be posthumously recognized, unlike the sex pests that are recognized on this planet while we still have it.
Well, you know what? You were going to be on Keith and the Girl later last year, and you know, you didn't. You didn't show up. And then today you had to be reminded, and you didn't show up.
Okay, man. And I get it.
But does it go with being a genius?
No. I got to say, I mean, there's a lot of guilt involved. Okay. I like you guys. I think love's a strong word. Okay. But it's actually difficult for me to say like, okay. Like is my love. All right. I like you guys very much. I received the text from Hemda. I'm sitting behind the wheel of my car. I've just pulled up in front of this lady's house on Beechwood Canyon. It looks like, I think a woman was being evicted. She's got to get all her shit out of her apartment. And hey, speaking of AA, what am I, if not somebody of service? I'm going to be of service, by which I mean to say, going to go into your apartment and take everything I could possibly sell. Anyway, I'm sitting in my car. I just pulled up. She's like, she texts me like, what's your ETA? I'm like, what the apartment chick wants to know my ETA? Bitch, I'm here. Oh, wait, fuck. I forgot again. Because I'm too busy on my grind, on my hustle.
It's almost like part of your personality that you talk about being broke and how to how people get by. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I got to say.
Is it because you don't show up for work?
I don't have a job, my man. I'm unemployable, bitch. Yeah, I mean, I've worked in an office before. I don't mean to brag, but yeah, I know how to file.
Okay. All right.
But I've gotten to the point now where basically, yeah, pretty much my job is just getting shit for free off Craigslist and then selling it on eBay.
Okay. Oh, what'd you get in this particular instance?
This haul?
What fucked us?
I got some brand new hair color. If we got any blondes in the audience who have $5.50 plus shipping to spare, already listed it on the eBay. I have some of it sitting here right now. I got an Ally G for president
button. What a haul.
Ooh, look at this. It's embossed. Genuine leather.
A leather
Ben Sherman wallet.
Okay.
Love that.
Is Ben Sherman a thing?
I mean, Ben Sherman is a brand. I know too much about.
I don't know if they make paint or wallets, but I have a wallet.
Yeah. Ben Sherman is like fake mod shit. For dudes. So it's like, if you know a guy that's got a Vespa, he's probably got some Ben Sherman polos. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's so, that's tip number one. I know you didn't ask for any tips at all.
I like tips. Tip
number one, get the stuff for the subcultures. Okay. The rockabillies, the goths, the mods. They're so into their shtick, it's their whole fucking life. And they're always buying stuff to show you what their personality is.
Okay. So it's that pin, that actual button, that's going to sell for something?
The LED.
Perhaps. In a series of months to years. It sits till it flips. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah.
If my dad knew that phrase, I would have heard it all the time.
I can't say that I coined that phrase. My friend Howard, who I do the thrifting related podcast with, that phrase.
I have breaking news.
Oh, no.
Will Smith, this isn't a joke or whatever the word is banned from the Oscars for 10 years. That's the punishment. The meeting was today.
Now, is that just the party or actually winning one?
He can go. He can go to the Vanity Fair party. Everybody can fuck each other and drink, but he may not be at the Oscars. Now, it'd be funny.
Can he win from home?
He keeps winning. Yeah, it'd be funny. Like they cut to video every year. Like this was his first Oscar. You know, the slap overshadowed it, but it'd be funny. He's like, hey guys, sorry I can't be there. Wink. Thank you for this award.
He's just like sitting in the same room as Polanski.
Right.
He's just hanging out. Oh, yeah, it's cool that he could go to the Vanity Fair party, though, because that's a great networking opportunity. And I know this because in Los Angeles, we treat the Oscars like they're, you know, I don't know.
Sure.
War or whatever. God's and good. They like, give you the way Oscars? Too much footage of what everything that's going on all day. And I was in a Thai food restaurant. And they always show like after the Oscars, it's just like some jerk off with a microphone standing outside the Vanity Fair party. And Emmylou Harris, is that her name?
The singer?
No, wait, fuck. Mary Lou Henner.
The sports person.
Mary Lou Henner, former television actress.
Okay.
Was there on the red carpet, just like trying to get somebody to take a picture of her. It's the saddest fucking thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
To tap in the fucking person. And the person's like please.
Hey, gang, remember me? Dude, she got all gussied up. She made her hair all big.
Is this Mary Lou Retton?
That's who I was thinking. You're right. Megan's right.
Oh, okay.
Mary Lou Henner. You know what I mean? She was like a sitcom actress in the 80s. Never even been nominated for a fucking Cable Ace Award, let alone an Oscar.
If I don't know, and I see every movie ever made, there's no way these interviewers are going to know. The Academy's 9,000 members had been, quote, completely split on the decision to ban Will Smith. There were, quote, hundreds of WhatsApp groups arguing about it. What?
What? And you all are asking us to stop. Like people are like, okay, I've heard enough about the slap. Okay, should we ban the guy that ran on stage and hit someone who was performing? Should we ban that guy?
Who are we gonna ban next? Are we gonna ban Soy Bomb? Are we gonna ban that the guy that streaked in 1978 or whatever? Who's next?
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, let's remind everybody.
It's a slippery slope.
Soy Bomb, I bet Soy. Okay, so this guy Soy Bomb, actual name Michael Portnoy, who used to frequent Surf Reality. He would come on stage at this open mic on Sunday nights where Keith and I met. I've seen him drink his own piss when he ran out of material. So sure. Soy Bomb wasn't that far off.
You ever do that, Megan? Like sometimes you're performing in front of four people. Why did I even come out? And nothing's connecting. You ever start drinking your piss?
No, but I can say that I have seen someone drink piss at an open mic.
See?
Sadly, it's a trope. It's been so it's hack. Okay, so this hack, yeah.
Right.
So I mean, he was avant-garde. He was living very avant-garde. He was not posing as anything. And all of a sudden, we see him on TV. I think it was the MTV Awards.
Yeah.
Ran on stage topless, and it said "Soy Bomb," and nobody
on
understood
his chest.
It.
Yeah.
I think we've seen him again at Surf Reality afterwards. He never addressed it. In hindsight, I should have asked him, but we weren't like close or anything. He was the person who I was like, all right, that was a good performance of drinking your pee. I'd give it a 10. Of course, I'm giving it a 10. It's very, very good. He ran on stage, but he didn't hit anybody. He didn't attack anybody. But you are breaking rules. And I imagine he wasn't allowed back at the MTV Movie Awards. How could you let that person back on again?
I think it was the Oscars, man. And you it was like, so? It was Bob Dylan performing.
Yeah. You're kidding me.
Wait, I don't know okay. why. I'm still paying attention. But I'm actively Googling it.
Me too.
Yeah. You both look like you're paying a lot of attention to me. Joy. Let me tell you all a secret. While
Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, the Grammys, 1998.
Grammys. Oh, it's the Grammys.
Grammys. You just knew it was more important than the MTV Awards.
Well, now that I've seen things, yes. I've seen Bob Dylan live and he sucks and good. More people should have ran out during the show I saw. I'm like, is that Hurricane? Is that fucking... All along the watchtower.
Scathing indictment. How is he going to come back from this game? Keith is just
he'll care less, right? Bob Dylan will care less, dude. So when I was listening back to the first time you were on, Megan, you pointed out, or maybe I asked you, did you go to school for sociology? I know Penda went like psychology, sociology, anthropology, all the ologies. Was that you?
Yeah, I just straight sociology.
Okay.
No, Keith is mistaking my like first semester. I was like, I don't know what to take. And I picked everything that has to do with the study of people without realizing what I'm supposed to do. So it was sociology, anthropology, psychology, just to try things out. And I wasn't being very diverse. And I left college soon after.
Wish I did too, man. What's up?
Do you recognize more? Like, do you recognize things about people? Do you understand the slap more than us dummies do?
Yes, I understand the slap more than everyone, and that's why I need you to read my 10,000-word Medium post. It's a 4-hour read. It's worth it, though. We're really good.
It's longer than the fucking Oscars, but you break it down.
Yeah. How does this relate to the human condition throughout? Now, I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand people maybe more than other people, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I'm going to owe the same $10,000 to the student loan people for the 10,000 fucking years. Yeah. I didn't learn anything I couldn't have read in a book. I'll tell you what, all you do in school is read books anyway.
and then
I got a library card.
What you do is you read the books and then you give the teacher the summarized version so she doesn't have to read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I female gendered the teacher. That's what I do. I don't know.
Wow.
I got to work on myself.
It's a compliment. We want good teachers. They have to be women.
No, it's not. No.
Okay. I don't know. It leads to this, though. Harrison writes, the other day, by the way, we talked about it was International Asexuality Day.
Okay.
And I thought, good for them. I guess that means we're supposed to recognize they have to go through something. But to me, it would change my life if I was asexual. Unfortunately, Megan, I'm A+ sexual. I think about it all the time. Blah, 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 blah. Here's what Harrison writes. Hello, I am H the comedian, he goes by, a longtime male listener from Canada for 14 years. I am 34 years old. I'm asexual. I enjoyed your thoughts on asexuality and wanted to say that, for me, much of what you said is accurate, seeing the world like a museum in terms of appreciating people's aesthetics, but having no desire to take any action. Now, first of all, Megan, wouldn't this be a fucking dream? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, if I was asexual, then I wouldn't have had to get sterilized, I guess,
See?
That would be cool.
We'll get to that. I used to make fun of my friends for liking sex, since to me it's a rudimentary act and, in all honesty, a trick. Growing up, I witnessed many males having strong desires for sex while having little to no desire to raise a child. To me, participating in an act designed to create babies without creating them is how our species is proliferated. Besides the fact that I have no desire for sex, I didn't want to participate knowing I'm being tricked. Let me know if it makes sense. It makes sense. Love the show. Keep listening. I'll keep listening. Love H. It makes sense to me.
Being tricked.
Yeah, because you're horned up. This is the way I'm taking it. You're horned up. Why are you horned up? Well, your body wants you to make babies.
You're horned up for biological reasons.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, so he eliminated that and doesn't need to deal with it. So I interviewed a guy named Ben Rosen. He's a comic. This was years ago. I interviewed him on his asexuality. He seemed to have that same thing where it's like, hey, this is a distraction to you guys. Everybody's selling to you guys with this sex thing. You're making bad decisions on this stuff. And it's like, from what I remember, but the difficulty is, and why I think they have a day, is because we're not recognizing them. And because they're on the side of things, they are now freaks. Why can't you participate in these highly sexual encounters and interactions that we all have? Basically, like, we don't realize how much sex is driving our conversations and interactions just in general. So he ends up looking like the prude, or people, well, I guess that is a prude, but he, or people think like he's just a closeted gay man and he just doesn't want to come out. This person happened to be a romantic asexual. There's aromantic, where you don't even want that partnership, that, and his big thing is like, I wish I could just like sleep in the same bed as someone and live a life together, because life is easier with somebody else. But it's very hard to find that other person who won't eventually need some kind of sexual stimulation, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's my summary. See, I can go to college.
Well, you know what? I wonder if I opened the newspaper today and it starts with, that's a swimsuit issue. A risque swimsuit, blah, 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 this raunchy design. And then it takes up the whole page, of course.
Okay, but to be clear, you said you read the paper. You're holding up the New York Post.
Megan, first of all, a picture is 1,000 words, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. But it goes right, you know, into her
it's
pussy
a full
crack.
Page. But yeah. It's a full page of a Kim Kardashian looking woman, I guess, from what I see from here. Maybe not as you get closer up, with a thong in the front, basically.
Yeah. It's so tight. I can see your future for sure.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Now, painful. do asexual people see this and go, fucking idiots, and go to page three?
I imagine.
Why not, man? I got to say, asexuality seems like a great way to save data. If you have limited data on your phone plan, you're not swiping all the time. You got more room on your phone for different, you know, you can have more fun apps. Maybe you could get, you know, all the varieties of Angry Birds. I mean, I don't see any downsides.
I thought you were talking about data from Star Trek. And I'm like, yeah, it is kind of like that, because he doesn't have to worry about that. He takes everything literally. So if you're doing like a double entendre, especially a sexual one, he's like, no, I wouldn't like a salad, but thank you for offering to toss one for me. Like that kind of shit.
And the irony is people like that. You know what I mean? And people are hitting on him, and Data's like, I am not trying to. Oh, you're not trying to.
Right. Right. Yeah, didn't 7 of 9 like rape him or something? No, it was the other one. Anyway.
Let's not confuse fake species, Kendall. Jesus. That's rude.
You're trying to get cyber canceled there? Come on, man.
We put up the poll. Asexual people only. Your choices were being asexual is the best. Being asexual is very frustrating. I'm not asexual. 91% of our audience said I'm not asexual. 9% said it's frustrating. No one seems to like it.
Well, then that's how you know it's not a choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how you know that's just inherently inside of someone, man.
But I wonder, do you not like it because society is built for, you know, crazy sexuality, you know, like so much sex, or do you not like it because it weighs heavily on your mind? Like, what's it? Because I don't think like gay people wouldn't not like themselves. A society would just be like, who gives a shit? It's not like you don't have to come out. You don't have to tell us anything. Just do your thing. So would asexuals be fine with who they are? And it's not frustrating if we were all like, oh yeah, you don't think about sex, next, who cares?
I picture you're watching a movie and you're like, I don't get this part of what affects the whole fucking movie. Who cares? Fuck her. She's not nice to you. The end. Do you know what I mean?
Right. You know, a lot of rom-coms really just seem very stupid.
Right. How many movies just seem dumb?
So bad. Oh, God. I'm watching Something's Gotta Give. Please forgive me. I couldn't sleep and I'm running out of things. Okay. So it's, is it Jack Nicholson? What's his face? It's these characters. It's always the same character. He happens to be older and dating his daughter. And it's like this, you know, bachelor guy. And he's never dated anyone over 30. And he's like 60 now. Everything that comes out of his mouth is disgusting. And I know we're going to fall in love with him later when we realize, oh, he was just being super chill and she's just being uptight. And I'm just like, where does it turn? And then I'm thinking of the female actors that have to be like, all of a sudden, like, oh, you're getting me hot. I'm not asexual. And I'm still like, where did this come from? What kind of script is this? how are you like, we're all leading with our genitalia. What's your genitalia saying here that I'm not hearing?
My genitalia is saying that, I mean, I have to fuck a 70-year-old man for because Nancy Meyer said so or whatever. Basically,
you get it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's been going on, you know, poor Vita, dude, since like silent films. You know, even in silent films, there was like a lot of times where you had like a teenage actress.
And it's even more obvious when it's silent, right? You can really take in the visual.
Right. Let it speak for itself.
But I think that's what was depicted as romance. And that's why some guys, especially the older ones, are confused they're confused for other reasons also. But there was that whole like, oh, I'm going to pull your ponytail. And when I'm older, I'm going to do worse things and just bother you until I weigh you down, and you call it charismatic. Yeah, that's the plan. They're laying it out for us in every fucking movie I'm seeing. Wake up, sheeple.
But it kind of leads to this, I think. You brought up being sterilized. I want to talk about these. Like, to me, tell me if I'm saying this wrong. To me, what's Megan that? Seems cool, tough as nails, doesn't put up with bullshit. But Megan's been in multiple emotional violent relationship, definitely one physical violent relationship.
Sure.
How do they get you? Like, how does it happen?
Oh, well, it's because I wasn't always like this, man. I mean, when I was like younger, I didn't have any friends until I started doing comedy, like in my mid to late 20s. And I grew up pretty isolated. I didn't have any siblings or anything, no friends. And so, yeah.
Why is that?
Why?
Yeah.
My personality sucked. But also there was the isolation. Do you know what I mean? Like, I grew up in the sort of environment where it's like, there were no kids around. Like, I grew up in the middle of an orchard, like in, you know, this like cow fuck town.
So with it's like no siblings.
I mean, I didn't have any siblings. I had a sister. My mom had a kid when I was 10, but she died when I was 13. So I was pretty much alone the whole time. So I didn't.
Holy shit.
What? You know, these things happen.
Sure.
The holy shit is the pause where the audience takes it in.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Pause for gasp. I don't know. I mean, fucking kids die, man. Kids are dying left and right. A kid just died. You know what I'm saying?
I killed one. Yeah.
I imagine your mother changed though after that. And it was like, did you feel the effects of your mother changing even though you were so young?
Well, I remember being like sort of disappointed in the fact that like, you know, so the other kid died. So it's like, you would think all hands on deck. Her and my father were divorced at that point. But it's like, you would think all hands on deck, let's really try parenting the last surviving one. Right. And that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, fuck this, man. I'm like,
no,
you know,
lessons,
what I mean?
Learned.
Yeah, I'm like your only living kid. Excuse me. Let me close this fucking door. Keeps sure. Opening.
We don't need the neighbors, Aaron.
No, I want the neighbors to hear. I want my breeder neighbors to hear. I grew up pretty isolated. I didn't really have great social skills. And when you're kind of alone and you don't have like a network of people to talk to.
Do you know like getting hit is wrong? Like, do you know
I thought I deserved it. Or whatever, because I was a bitch, or for whatever reason that he said. I mean, he was like the only person in my life who was, you know, like a friend or.
Are they so good when it's nice? Do they give flowers, or they're not even that good when they're nice?
This one, not even. No, right. I think it was just like. I mean, this basically it's like this is the one person that will tolerate me, so I got to put up with everything, sort of thing. But then. I started doing comedy. I started making friends. I started developing social skills. I started realizing like, oh, maybe I'm not a, you know, completely worthless piece of shit.
You would do stand up about getting hit and what are we going to do about it? And then next
sometimes,
thing you know,
yeah.
Somebody told you a thing or two.
But yeah, I mean, like when I first started doing stand up, I didn't have any self-confidence. Self-confidence as a person. So I would like perform behind the curtain. Like I couldn't look anybody in the eye.
Oh, really? Is that true? Yeah. Wow.
And wow! Now, you for doing that.
You're like the dude from Tool or something. Now you stand up there and you're proud.
Yeah, Yes, I'm exactly like Maynard James right. Keenan now. Yes.
You're the guy from The Doors.
Keith is so surprised, and I think this isn't very it's not very novel that people are like, but you're such a tough person, and or you're so nice, or you know so much about human beings.
Your album is genius, and there's all these nuances, but a guy can slap you in the face and you take it. Yeah, it shocks me.
Well, I mean, that happened before you saw The Woman Before You Now, right. man.
You but know? How old that, were you?
Are,
how old
but
were
there you? There are women in front of, like, who will be standing with that much of whatever you want to give as credit, Keith, to a person, and they're still being beat by their partners.
I follow. Yeah. How old were you?
Maybe like 25.
Okay.
Maybe, 25, 26, something like that.
I wrote some down, but this was 6 months ago when I was supposed to see you, and I forget what it means. You married somebody out of spite. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah,
about?
Yeah. I met a guy on a message board, classic. Lived in another country.
What was the message board about?
It was for a band. There was about like six people on the message board, so really could have been any of them. I just chose the one that lived in Australia. The abusive guy. I was trying to like sort of like get back at him. I guess. See. I don't know. And then I went to Australia, and then this fucking mamaluke came here, and then it was like a situation where it was like he was going to be deported if we didn't get married. So I'm like, guess I gotta do it, really, to just twist the knife. And also I couldn't admit that I was wrong, you know, to my family. This was the point where I like still gave a fuck what they thought.
Right.
And so I couldn't admit that I had like made another mistake. So I like stayed with him for 2 years, dumped him the day after he got his green card. And then I told my family, and they're like, oh yeah, we never liked him in the first place. And I was like, cool. That would have been information that would be, helpful 2 fucking years ago.
Do you follow these people on social media? The abuser, your ex-husband, do you follow
them? Why the fuck would I do that?
I don't know.
Oh, like, do I keep tabs on them?
Yeah, do you keep tabs?
No, I don't. Okay.
I think it's very normal to do that. Like people just,
I would say that it's normal, but I mean, I doubt that they have changed or have grown interesting at all. You know what I mean?
Are both your parents still around?
Yeah. Okay. I occasionally speak to my mother, but I don't speak to my father at all.
You don't speak to your father, who you found a suicide note that he left behind.
Why? What are you, my fucking biographer? What is going on here, man?
I had 6 months to think about this shit. This is on you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when my mother dumped my father, he was like such a fucking drama queen about it.
Oh, and, he left like a fake suicide note and you found that? But it was deliberate?
And I was like, yeah, cry for help much.
Damn.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it was a whole fucking thing. But anyway, yeah, like everyone on that side of the family is profoundly mentally ill. And won't recognize it. And like, my dad won't even take fucking Prozac. You know,
does it make you nervous? Like my mom, of course, has dementia. I'm just lazy about it, but I want to get that test to see if I have it. Are you nervous that you have things that your family has?
Oh, I know that I'm mentally ill. What do you mean nervous? I'm medicated.
I got a fucking Ally G button I'm coming to.
Give me a break, dude. What the? You think I could like? Yeah, no, I know that I'm mentally ill, man. I know that like all the Keisters have had their fucking dramatically threatened suicide or actually achieved it. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm aware, Keith. Thank you for asking.
What's the sterilized story that you alluded to? You were pregnant once.
Yeah, well, I always thought that I was infertile, which I thought was like the only thing that was, you know, going well for me in my life. And then I ended up getting pregnant when I was 34, got an abortion.
What made you think that you couldn't have a baby?
I was in.
They said the first time doesn't count. And we did it like every time was the first time.
You know, the HPV vaccine. I was one of the, I don't mean to brag, but I was one of the beta testers for that vaccine before it actually got FDA clearance. Thank you so much.
Wow. And how much did you get for that?
They dragged it out over a series of years. So it was like maybe a few thou over a few years. And at one point, I think maybe around the time I was like 18, a doctor said that like it seemed like I would be unlikely to conceive. And that made sense because my mother also has like issues in that realm. Mm. She has endometriosis. And so I was like, oh, okay, tight. Basically, I got an all access pat. I'm like, I'm infertile. Let's fucking boogie. And I just like raw dogged my whole life like I was. And I never got pregnant until I was 34 years old. Mm. So then I had to get an abortion on my 35th birthday, not like to make a point, but because it was the first available appointment.
Oh, it was on your birthday. Fuck off.
I only had one friend. They were busy. So fuck it. Let's make it a party.
It was sick though, because then I also got the grand slam, the Denny's grand slam for free right after going to Planned Parenthood. So it was like,
they give you no joke. They give you a coupon.
Well, anybody can go to Denny's on their birthday, get a free glance slam.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Was this amateur hour?
I didn't know if they worked together.
He thought that the doctor.
Oh, that's the Planned Parenthood gave me a grand slam.
Yeah. Okay, have some fatty. Fuck it. It's your day.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know what happens there. He's not even sure why people protest if you're getting grand slams.
Just keep in mind, you're not eating for two. All right. Enjoy. But yeah, you still get your period making sure you can't have babies again. Yes, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. So I got the abortion, so it was like, oh, well, fuck, what? I got to go on birth control now. But I've never wanted kids. I'm never going to want kids. I've known this since I was a kid. I don't want fucking kids. Right. So it's like, why don't I go through the rigmarole of like getting put on everybody that I know that's like, you know, female that gets a period and is on like birth control. It always makes them go crazy and shit. All these hormones.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want kids in general. Why the fuck would I take it? So then I was like, well, I may as well just get properly sterilized.
How do you get sterilized? Because I guess like I was thinking about having all the equipment removed and it just seemed like so long. And now I'm just counting down until I'm done with it. But what's sterilization?
It's not even removing anything. All they do is they go in through your belly button. They take a laser and they just sever the ties between your fallopian tubes and your uterus. So your body still creates and releases eggs. They just don't go into your uterus. They go into your body and are absorbed by your body.
Does it change your period?
It did change my period, but it doesn't change everybody's. No, it just kind of like made it heavier for a little while, but then it got better. But then I got COVID, and then I got this weird COVID period shit now. Keith loves this stuff. He loves this funky stuff.
He actually does.
I really, really do.
This is Keith's sociology class. Yes. Everything he's asking. This is a book. He writes a textbook for every guest.
But that'd be funny. I put out a book every month. It was the best guest of that month. You went to a UCLA like doctor kind of school. Henda went to one of these like a student doctor for dentistry. And they don't have, you know, like, are you, and she's like, are you asking if I'm pregnant? Like what?
So basically he's talking about being a first year resident.
Yes.
After you have your degree, you get to work on people, but you have to be around a practicing doctor for quite some time. So it's a residency.
Megan was a nude corpse for somebody. Is this true? Megan Keister.
Nude corpse. I mean, no, I was a practice subject for gynecology students.
Okay. What?
Okay.
You are. Okay. All right. I'm in. I am in. You might be the coolest person. What? What? I don't even want to go to my own fucking checkup. Do you stay up in the stirrups? And they just gust your vagina.
And it's just
I'm leaving. Goodbye.
One after the other of them trying to figure out how to use a special one.
They're flapping you around.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious? Okay.
One guy was so nervous, and yes, you can hear this on the album that Keith loves so much.
I love it.
One guy was so nervous, he sweated into my vagina.
Oh, shit!
Stop it! Stop it!
And it's like, if that's how you're going to have to nip that in the bud, dude, because this is going to be your fucking job, bro. You can't be sweating in pussies all day if all you're doing is looking at pussies all day.
How long were you strapped with your legs there?
I mean, I did it for a few years because it happened seasonally. Seasonally. You would like go in once a year for like maybe 3 days in a row
for the graduating class. Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about I didn't know this was multiple days. I'm talking about how long did you sit there per session?
I think it was like they had to do a specific set of things per session. And so you have to like sit there until they achieve.
They do. They check off two boxes. You go to your happy place. Next thing you know, five boxes are checked. And then they told Megan, you did great. Like, okay, thank you.
No, she did do great. And no. Keith, do not laugh at that. Megan, you are fantastic. This is amazing. Here's what I do at my gyno. Okay. When it's time to put in that thing that like spreads your vagina open to what is it?
Speculum.
Right. The speculum, they put it in so that they can just, you know, leave your vagina open to soon as that thing is in, I start counting down out loud. That's how long my gynecologist has to finish what the fuck she's doing. And it's usually, she says she can do it in 60 seconds and it's usually good. It's because you have to take a pap smear.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe like not even anything else, but you just have to get in there for a second. I'm like 60, 59. 58. She's like, you're doing great. I'm like 57, 47. She's like, nope.
you would not thrive in this environment that I'm describing. No.
Listen to this, Megan. Penda had a doctor once going down there and she's crying. She's nervous, whatever the fuck. And they go, but you like it when your boyfriend does it.
No.
Am I saying it wrong? Was that a dentist?
No. It's slightly wrong. My first gynecological visit. My first visit. I was like really nervous. I kept shutting my legs because your legs just naturally shut, you know? And he's like, leave your legs open. I'm like, okay, I can't. It's just very nerve wracking. I don't know what they're doing. And so he goes, leave it open like how you like to leave it open for your boyfriend.
Yeah, that was close.
This guy should be thrown into a volcano. You don't say that to
shit.
That's the thing. It was my mother's gynecologist. And so, and I was only 18. I had just started having sex. So I didn't have a voice to say anything. I didn't want to ruin this for my mother. Okay. You know,
do it like your mom does. Shh, shh,
shh. That's fucking insane. Yeah.
If it was now, I would absolutely say something.
Oh yeah. But if it was now, I would like kick him in the groin or something like that.
I believe you. I would.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Nah, I just go online and get the woke mob on it. I just sick the woke mob on this fuck.
Who's that?
I didn't even consider that hair models need people with hair and fucking gynecologists need an actual vagina.
Yeah.
Well, they have, you know, obviously they have like the dummies, but a dummy can't tell you if what you're doing hurts.
Holy shit.
And you know what? Sometimes it did. And I would be like,
oh my God,
not right. Didn't get it. Maybe next time, champ.
And what would you get paid? What would you get paid for that?
I think that was probably also like, this was around the time where, speaking of alcoholism and the depths that it takes you to, I was profoundly alcoholic at the time. And basically my only job was like being a lab rat. And so I was a lab rat there. I think it paid like $20 an hour, which is also what being injected with radiation at the VA hospital paid.
Yeah, I guess I would take the first one, sure.
I would like to announce that we all owe Megan Keister some money, okay? This is just...
this the vagina technology got better, absolutely.
This was like 15 years ago, okay? $20 went a lot farther then.
Doesn't
okay.
matter. Quiet, don't... Not during this time.
You can't get a Grand Slam breakfast for $20 if you want the coffee.
We owe you money. We're going to give it to you via paying for your album or whatever you got going on, shows. No, this has to happen. Do you understand that the first vagina everybody out there, the first vagina your gynecologist touched was not an actual patient. It was this sacrifice of a human being. This is Joe versus the volcano. Do we know what's happening here? We all owe you some money. What's your Venmo?
I think it's Megan Dash. Forget
it. Oh my God, that's a button, like a Megan. That's a button. That's not Venmo. So
wait.
Do you still do you drink, by the way? Still?
Megan Dash Keister.
Megan Dash Keister.
No, I don't. It's funny that you're like that was that letter about AA because I just started going back to it because it's the only fucking thing that works. Sure. I did the whole thing where it's like, you know. I'm smarter than this. No, you're not. You dipshit. Right.
Can you tell us? So can you answer that person's question?
I was going to say the person that has somebody said something good at a meeting the other day. And like, yeah, I get it. You know, who wants to go to a meeting? But sometimes they're fun. this was at one where I show up and it was like, have you ever been to a meeting where it's like everyone's a fucking child? It felt like an episode of Euphoria. That was crazy, dude. It was like all these like genderqueer fucking like, you know what I mean? Like right. Crazy hair, crazy dress. I feel like 8 million years old, but whatever.
I get you.
But one dude was like, yeah, if you're like new and you feel weird about the whole God thing, just all you need to know is that you aren't God.
Right.
That's it. That's basically what the whole God thing is. It's yeah, just that's like, a good stop one. Acting like you're fucking, you know, all you need to know is that there's something in the universe other than you, you selfish piece of shit.
Megan, you
can fill that in on your own, selfish piece of shit.
Right.
Right. That's not me adding a little zhuzh to it. Yeah.
That's not, I happen to be reading the big book of AA right now, just because I got so curious about it. If I'm going to talk about even going to Al-Anon meetings, which we get our information from AA, and God, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. It is boring.
It's so boring. I have it too.
It was written in 1939.
It was written in 1939. And it has that language. And it's, of course, it's pretty sexist written, like the male is the alcoholic. And yes, they talk about, there's a whole segment to the wife, but the stuff that you fight, what they did.
Yeah.
Because your wife is reacting to you, but they just started acknowledging, they're like, you know, women can have this alcoholic issue too. That's happening in our world now as well. And so it's so old timey that it's hard. But the information that they bring into meetings is a little bit more either updated or succinct enough, like where they take that piece and is like, this is the message. That other stuff
it's
is
just,
like.
Yeah, it's like a framework, basically. Yeah. And everything's been modernized, especially, if you like go to meetings where there's people who are like you there. It's like, I like the meetings where like everybody's like, I can still be a scumbag and not drink. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
I can still steal from Target and not drink. You know what I mean? It's fine.
It wasn't about that. Right. Megan was blacked out drunk, invited somebody to move into her place.
This is true. Yeah.
Person moves in, she doesn't remember any of this, but she can't admit that she didn't remember. So now that person's in the fucking house. That's amazing. I picture like a guy would kiss you and then you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, no, you kissed me last week, remember? Like, did you ever question like how many times was I blacked out? That I never blacked out, and I think that was honestly part of my problem. There wasn't enough.
How was that part of your problem?
There wasn't enough to scare me. I was a fun drunk. And I remembered everything.
Right. Towards the end of like the severe, when I was like so fucking wasted, it was giving me like psychosis basically. Yeah. I would like black out every night, and it's like, how do you apologize for something you can't remember?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, oh wow, I've completely lacked agency.
And you keep hanging out with me, so you must like it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I held it pretty well. Do you know what I mean? Like people wouldn't be able to tell. I would still be able to like speak cogently.
That's so funny, because everyone always thought I was drunk or high, and I'm like, should I start doing this?
Kind of is a party. Like she'll be in the car, she'll drive to a place, just looks regular, let's say. Then as soon as she gets out of the car, she's ready for fun, and she's like, it's not as annoying, like, yay, shots. Because she doesn't drink, but it's just like, we're dancing, we're having fun, now it's party time. So yeah, everybody assumed she drank. And then party's over, she's back in the car, and now we drive again. I'm like, oh, that's crazy.
I'm very appropriate.
Yeah, you're very appropriate.
It's a great way to save money.
Right.
Fake it.
That's true, until you pick up a weed habit, and then you're like, fuck, what's my budget?
Grow it! Can you grow it yet there?
You can maybe start now. It's not that easy though, and we don't have the weather for it. Oh. And then like, you know, your place smells like wheat, so I can't really do it inside. It's a box in here. And then I do have a little bit of outdoor space, and I have to be honest, it's going to have to be Xerxes who wants to do it, not me. I love tomatoes. I haven't grown tomatoes all my life. So
Right.
I love steak. I didn't buy a cow.
Right. Hey,
speaking of saving money, if I can bring this up, Rothy shoes. Let me tell you what I'm talking about, okay? Hemda has them. I have them.
Let me show you.
I got loafers, as a matter of fact, not to brag.
They're so comfortable. Look at this. How cute is that?
Rothy's. Rothy's shoes. God damn it. I love them. Comfort. They are. Washability. You throw them in the fucking wash. And they're wash and come out perfect. No him and no harm. Durability. Yeah, that's there. These are the best shoes I've ever had. I could wear them at my girlfriend has style. I go out. She's like, nice shoes. I'm like, you don't even fucking know. I just throw them in the wash when I want. Like, you know, like I'm getting away with something. Like it's like somehow classy hush puppies or something. I love
them. These are the ones. These are the ones that his girlfriend is okay with. And you can see like when Keith was married. Now Keith has a serious girlfriend. You could always see like, oh, that's what you got for Christmas, because it's like, Oh shit, that fits you exactly. It has sleeves. It's like modern, but not like douchey where you don't know how old you are. These are the shoes. It's like, oh, this is regular clothes, but we know that it's girlfriend approved because it looks exactly right on you. Look at these red Mary Janes.
Those are sick.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Right. You just throw them in the wash if you want. What? What? Sometimes I use them as a soup bowl. That's a true story. Get both style and comfort this spring with Rothy's, Rothys.com/Keith. That's what you do. You get $20 off your first purchase. How about that?
Swear to God, if we have to redo this because you drink soup out of your shoes.
Rothys.com/Keith. It's not recommended you do, but you can promise.
Because you just put them in the washer. Have you been listening?
What the fuck? Can you fucking imagine? Fancy type shoes in the fucking washer? Done. Done.
I believe it.
Happy birthday to me.
Did you say Rothys.com/Keith?
It's Keith. /Keith on this one. They changed it up because we did so good with KATG. They want to see if like there's a trick or something. So it's Rothys.com/Keith. KEITH. Okay.
Also, we have keithandthegirl.com/coupons. So if you missed what the code was or the link was, it links you right there to all the people who are supporting. So support our supporters. keithandthegirl.com/coupons.
That's right. I heard some news that's blowing my mind. Tell me what you think. Mushrooms talk to each other, meaning they have a vocabulary of 50 quote words, says a new study. The fungi emits impulses to communicate about food and warn each other mushrooms, about threats, according to the researchers in the University of the West of England.
And then when they have a threat, they turn poison.
So is everything, I think about this when I think about veganism, and I understand you'd rather eat plants than fucking animals. But at the same time, aren't vegetables alive? This is what it sounds like.
Yes, but just because they can communicate, it doesn't mean they're talking like speaking words.
Pigs have 50 words and everybody pretends they're so fucking smart.
I don't know. I mean, you know, hey, man, define sentience, you know?
I mean,
all I know is that mushrooms can make you talk. You know what I'm saying? And that's if you can grow mushrooms in your apartment, it's really easy. A lot of people won't tell you this. It's easy. It's just time consuming. I've done it successfully multiple times.
Funny mushrooms or mushrooms?
Funny mushrooms, but also regular mushrooms. But yeah, they're funny mushrooms. Yeah.
Can you still do, you're not drinking, right? But are you still cool with like weed, mushrooms?
Well, I can't do mushrooms because I'm on SSRIs. They don't work. Mm. So I would just basically brew them for benevolency to others, just because
nice.
Socking it to the man. You know what I mean? Just to prove I could.
I'm growing acid in my bathtub. Long story.
How do you bathe?
No.
You bathe? I feel like I'm another planet. Let me put it that way.
You just stand in front of the sink and dab?
All right, let's go over what we learned today.
We learned so much. All right.
Here's what we learned. Let's see. This is important. How do you deal with the God issue at AA? And we learned you're not God. Take it from there. I love that. Let's see. We found out the dictionary definition of love and hate, and I love this fucking album. It's the dumbest title I've ever heard, Megan. Maybe that.
It's Latin.
What does the
title? Don't defend it.
What does the title, Tertium non datur, have to do with?
Tertium non datur. It means there's no third option. Which is like a reference to comedy, working in threes. And also, I mean, I got it from a fucking Jerry Brown quote where he's talking about climate change.
Were you eating mushrooms at the time?
No, but, you know, hey, but Keith, this my governor fucked Linda Ronstadt. What's yours done?
Hello.
This, Keith, you like that no third option. You like a black and white world.
I certainly do.
Yes or no?
I certainly do. Yeah, have an opinion, for God's sakes. Mm. Will Smith is banned from the Oscars for 10 years, but I think he can still win. So, okay, good for him.
Awesome.
Let's see here. Oh, this woman. That's right up her front crack. We learned that. asexual people in our audience, it's frustrating, says 9% of them. I get that.
We also learned how to sell on eBay. That was a pretty fun lesson.
Yeah, you don't worry about Keith and the girl, and you go and buy shit. Okay. We figured it out.
We learned that we owe Megan money, and that her Venmo is Megan-Keister, and it's spelled not anywhere close to what it sounds like, so just keep that in mind.
Yep. You're gonna need to blame my dad for that.
It'd be funny. People start fake Venmos now. Like, all right,
Yes, sir.
Rothy's shoes.
We learned that you can. Oh, we learned about Rothy's shoes.
Put them right in the shower.
Put it in the washing machine.
It's amazing.
We learned that you can get married out of spite, but it turns out it's just out of spite for yourself.
Right.
We learned that you could be sterile and still get a fucking period every goddamn month.
Can you imagine?
I'm living it.
When somebody's pregnant, they don't have periods, I assume, right? Like, that's the blessing. Yeah. Now she's sterilized and she's having periods? Get the fuck out of here.
I should have just stayed pregnant for the rest of my life. Then I never would have had to get a period.
You keep holding it in.
Perma-pregnant.
And we learned about the conversations... with mushrooms?
Mushrooms talk to each other. Mushrooms talk to each other. Do you think, like, this is what I heard when I was a kid. I don't know if the science changed. But everything's made out of atoms, right?
Yeah.
And atoms are always moving. To me, if something moves, it's fucking alive. Is this desk, not being too funny, alive?
But then what can we eat? You know, there's intelligent life, and then there's just life.
Did I just punch life?
You just punched sound and we got to hear it. Does that make you feel good?
I'm nervous that my desk is going to fall apart. It's like,
I kind of feel like the ability for complex thought is what separates, say, the mushroom from a man.
I never asked the desk how it's doing. How you doing?
Ask it now.
How you doing?
What'd it say? Mom. What'd it say?
Anyways. Megan.
Oh, Keith, you're going to have to start a show called Mommy Issues.
Oh, my God. It's the saddest fucking thing.
It is.
It's the saddest fucking thing. But it's not about me. It's Megan's day. And here's what you want to do. Okay? You want to follow Megan Keister online. Born Feral, of course, is what you follow. And that's that. Anything else people should know, Megan? You tell me.
When do I ever promote anything?
Yeah,
that
I didn't
matters.
Mean nothing.
Nothing matters.
You know what we did say? We say to the guest, let me find it here. What are you promoting? And she wrote.
Oh, yeah. You have to put ahead of time. What are you promoting?
Continued existence in spite of the wishes of my myriad haters.
Straight up, man. That's a victory in and of itself.
Megan, thank you so much for your time. It's good seeing you again.
Same.
And that's that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Sorry about the mix-up, man.
That's all right. It worked out.
So glad to have you.
Yeah.
I know how to make your Google Calendar send you a... Right after you texted me, it sent me something at like 12:06. Like, oh, hey, by the way, do this thing at 12. Fuck you, man.
Yours is 5 minutes later. You're wrong.
You know... Maybe
She'll figure it out. I promise.
No. Do you have a calendar? Do you follow a calendar?
No, I used to use a like a book, but then like COVID happened, and then like there's no. I never have anywhere to be or anything to do at any time anymore.
I think you're mistaken, but okay.
You know, isolated incident.
I don't know. It's just it's isolated twice.
Double ice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm joking. It is so fun to have you. I'm so glad we did it.
Yeah, thanks, man. KeithandTheGirl.com.